else? Well, turn in your Bibles with me to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let us pick up for just a moment at an old starting place in chapter 20, where John says, we're in John chapter 20, really. And John says in verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Well, there's almost no end to a topic like this. But there is a tremendous motivation for eternal life. Should be. Now go back with me almost to Revelation, to 1 John. 1 John. Praise God. The world, it is a-changing, right? Yes. 1 John chapter 5. And Jesus says in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Wow. Well, that's simple, isn't it? But it really isn't that simple. Because if we believe, if we really believe that this man Jesus is who he said he was, of God, that he was God, it'll change our lives. What would we think would be the result if we were able to meet with someone, talk to them, and they came back from the dead, you know, kind of like, Scripture tells us about the rich man, Lazarus, and the rich man went to hell when he died, and he comes back and he says, well, need a drink of water, and send Lazarus, and when that couldn't happen, have someone go tell my brother, don't come to this place. What if we could talk to somebody who'd been to heaven? And I know we've read books and such of people that died and came back to life. And some said he went to heaven, but I'm very skeptical about that. Because no man has been to heaven and come back, Scripture says, and I believe that's still true to today. But this man, Jesus, did not only bring us a word from God, he was God. Oh, he was God. He was God. The Spirit in him was God. And so, as John says here, he wrote the Gospel of John so that we might have life, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, that he's God, that Jesus was God. Now, it'd be pretty neat to talk to someone that had been to heaven and back. Even better to speak to someone who, by his very spirit, created the heaven. Made everything that was made. There's nothing made that was not made by God, by the very spirit that was in this man, Jesus. There was a man, one time, called Jesus, born of Mary. And he was man and he was God. And this man, John, that tells us about him, believed it so much he's willing to commit his whole life to that. Yes. Endanger his life. Yes. Got sent out to the Isle of Patmos. Abandoned. so to speak. But he was willing to pay any price because he believed it. John believed it. John believed that Jesus was miraculously born of a woman, and that this Jesus was, Father was God, that the Spirit in him, and God is Spirit, and the Spirit in him was God. Now, we say, well, I can see how that would be pretty convincing. But are we convinced enough to believe that that same Spirit lives in us that lived in Jesus? That doesn't make us God. See, Jesus never had sin. He never sinned until I messed up and he had to die on a cross for my sins. And maybe some of you. Now, you wouldn't do that, would you? But he died that all people might have eternal life. And this is one of the most important topics in the Scripture, if not the most important topic, is that this man Jesus that hung on the cross was man and God. And John's desire was that people would know it to such an extent that they would commit their life to it, to convincing people. So, back to John, or 1 John, I'm sorry, the 1 John chapter 5. This simple statement, whosoever believeth, in verse 1, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him that is begotten of him. Or everyone that loves God also loves his offspring, this man Jesus. By this we know that we love the children of God. How do you know that you love people? We say, oh, well, you know if you love people. He says, here's the way we know if we love the children of God. When we love God, keep his commandments. Now, he's not talking about you keeping all the commandments of the Scripture. He's really talking in context, and he shows this, that we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, and that we love his children. Actually, we love people, but especially his children. For this is the love of God. What is the love of God? That we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. A lot of people live their lives thinking the commandments of God are grievous. Man, it's hard serving God. Actually, it's not hard serving God. Unless you try and do it in yourself and you do not depend on his grace. Now, we're not talking about Paul. You know, Paul said, let's not violate or offend grace, you know, by believing if we sin more, God is greatly glorified. He paraphrases. But we have eternal life because we believe who he is. We really believe that Jesus was divine. He could forgive us of our sins. And we believe that when we ask him, he will. And not only forgive us, but he will forgive others. And so we are therefore to love others. Everyone that loveth Jesus loves God. Because you can't separate the two. Okay. Jesus was God, come in the flesh. And so this is how we know whether or not we love God. And, I can remember spending a lot of anguishing hours trying to figure out if I loved God enough. And I always came to the conclusion that I didn't. Until I comprehended a little better the price that he paid and the grace that he purchased for us. And the truth of the word that more than what was lost in sin was gained in the grace of God, the price, the empty cross, the empty tomb, and him purchasing our sins. In verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And that is not simplistic, folks. Talk about if we believe that, if we could believe, Lord, help me to believe more than beyond just belief that Jesus was the Son of God, able to purchase our sins, and that he was, you know, if Jesus really was born of God, then every word he says is true. You know, we say, well, yeah, I believe it, but do we really? Yeah, do I really? Do I really believe that every word of his is true? Do I really believe that if we were to give up everything in our lives, that he's still going to take care of us, that we could be so convinced that if he asked us to do anything and we did it, that he would make it work together for our good? Do we really believe that? I mean, anything. But this is what he says. This is how we know that we love God. So we need to comprehend better that this man Jesus really is who he said he was. Now, I would like for you to go probably another page to 2nd Epistle of John. 2nd John, a short letter. John refers to himself as the elder, and he did that towards the end of his life, and he was an elder, meaning that he was older, but he was also a leader of the church, of the body of Christ. So, in 2 John, this is John writing, the one who leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, and the one who was there to cross when he hung there, came to the tomb after he had resurrected this man, John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Who is he writing to? I don't know. And nobody else does. Probably an individual. Some people say, well, it's, you know, it's a church or whatever. We don't know. All we know is what he wrote. And he says this was a chosen lady, and she had children. He said, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. I love her, her children. He's talking about these people that we're supposed to love, the Lord our God with all heart, soul, mind, strength, and others. Okay, and so he's saying, hey, I love these people. And so here is this lady and her family and probably extended family. And so he's speaking of what he is teaching. And, of course, John teaches over and over and over and over and over about the love of God. He says, I love all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever. What a verse. For the truth's sake. I love all these people, he says, for the truth's sake. Because I know what the truth is, John says. Truth. Truth. When God talks about truth, it's absolute truth. It's not mostly truth. A good part truth. It's 100% truth. It's truth. It is absolute truth. And he says this truth dwells in us and shall be with us forever. The truth. What is truth? Pilate asked that, didn't he? What is truth? And he didn't wait around long enough to find out. But truth. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? What would it profit a man if he lost the whole world for his soul? What would it What would it profit a person if he paid the ultimate price of giving his life? Thousands of people have died at the stake. Firing squads got their heads cut off. And it's still happening today, folks. More frequently than has any time in history, they say, Christians are being more persecuted than any time before. And so a person gives his life knowing, trusting that this Jesus was who he said he was. And like Paul said, to die is gain. That nobody can take your life. You know, they're giving you eternal life when they do. They're letting you pass on. And I think about these who have passed away. And some of them, knowing them for years, just passed away since Sunday. But I think what God wants us to learn, folks, is we need to be more convinced of who He is. Of who He really, really, really is. Do we really believe that He can do anything? And do we believe that He will do anything? That He will keep His word? Do we believe that as we pray for loved ones that don't know Him, do we really believe that He will bring them to Him before they die? Do we really believe that? Or do we just kind of hope it's so or whatever? If we really believe that, how many of our unsaved loved ones would we more diligently pray for? Now, this same man, John, says that if we ask God, believing, He will give us our loved ones. You believe that? Can we really believe that?
Yes.
No matter how far they are away from God, that if we ask God, we can have confidence, John says. We have confidence that He hears us. And if He hears us, he says, that we have the petition we desire. You see, what a person has to do is not a lot of keep a bunch of commandments. It's a lot of believe that Jesus is who He said He was. Because if He is who He said He was, then all power is His. He said all power is His in heaven and earth. And so it's a small thing compared to us that He would cause our loved ones to have their understanding, the eyes of their understanding open, as he says in Matthew, that the eyes of our understanding would be open to where we can see who Jesus is, that He died for us and that we're sinners and we need Him. He can do that. And it's only by His Spirit. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him, or that there be a Spirit work. And so we can pray and ask God to deal with our loved ones that do not know Him, and He will deal with them because we pray. Now, Paul asks, how can a person be saved except he hears? How can he hear unless someone tells them? And how can somebody tell them unless they go? And how can somebody go unless somebody helps send them?
That's right.
Okay, so he's saying if a person can hear the word, he has the potential and possibility of eternal life. And so we can ask him. And, you know, that's not a difficult thing to ask him. But we don't get it. We don't get it. We know so many people that are not ready to meet Jesus. And if we could ask the people, you know, or ask God concerning the people, and they would be drawn to Him and give their heart to the Lord because they understand, Would we do it? Would we do that? This probably sounds kind of foolish. It's just crossed through my mind, and so, almost speaking for I think, but that's not the first time either. But could we not? What do you think would happen if you took the Owensboro phone book and you started down a page and you prayed for every person on that page? And the next day you did the same thing. And let's say you did that for 3 or 4 days. You prayed for every person and you didn't know any of them. What do you think would happen? You said, oh, preacher, that would just be a lot of repetition and would be meaningless. Because how can you pray for somebody you don't know? Friend, I hope you pray for a lot of people you don't know. Amen. Okay? Paul prayed for a lot of people he didn't know. He prayed for a whole church full of people he didn't know. But can you imagine that if we could believe God, I believe if we believe that Jesus, the intercessor, now he intercedes for us in heaven. Jesus, tell you what he's doing in heaven, and it's daytime in heaven because there's never a night. He is interceding. He ever liveth to intercede for us. Now, he's not just interceding for us, about us. He's interceding in our stead. Scripture says, Revelation says, that in heaven they add to our prayers. We need to give them more to add to. But can you imagine if we believe it? Man, if we believe it, I believe if I pray for every person on this page that God is going to stir their heart. He's going to send somebody to them. He's going to draw them to him. And he, by God, by the very Spirit of God, is going to open their eyes of understanding, which is something we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray that God opens people's eyes of understanding. Paul did. So, hey, it's good enough. Paul's good enough for us, huh? And so ask God to open their eyes of understanding and draw them to him. I tell you what, I think that would be a good profession. You can't outgive God, can you? Some of you have tried that. Some of you have tried to outgive God, and you haven't been very successful. He's blessed you more than what you are able to give, and you're still trying, and you're still losing ground. Because he's blessing you more. But if we ask him, why would he not do that? See, this was so important to John that he says, hey, this is available for everyone. So, he says this truth and grace will be with us. In verse 3, he says, grace be with you, mercy and peace. Okay. Grace be with you. John is writing this letter. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So he believes that he can cause this friend and her family to have grace and mercy and peace because he asked. Do you have loved ones that need peace? Ask. God, would you give them some peace? You know, many people do not come to Jesus because their life is in such a turmoil they never have peace long enough to even contemplate truth. Grace, mercy, and peace from God. Wow. You know what? If our loved ones, that their lives are in a turmoil, if God was to send them mercy and peace and grace from heaven, I don't think heaven is in turmoil. No. I don't think God's thinking, oh, man, what am I going to do tomorrow? No. He's already beyond tomorrow. But can you imagine if he gave your loved ones mercy You say, oh, my loved ones really need mercy. Well, their loved ones do too, meaning you. But can you imagine if that comes from God? You see, John believed the word. He believed this stuff. John believed this stuff enough to die for it. He believed it enough to face horrible punishment to be able to tell others. And should we not be able to do the same thing? We've got to grasp this, folks. We've got to grasp this. Okay, now, stick with me here. Okay. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children, in verse 4, walking in truth as we received a commandment from the Father. I saw them just doing what they were supposed to do. They were loving one another is what he's talking about. These people were just loving one another. They loved where if somebody needs something, they gave it. If they needed something done, they'd done it. They just loved people. And he said, I'll rejoice. No, he didn't say I rejoice. He said, I greatly rejoiced when I just heard about what was taking place with your children. Now, verse 5, I beseech thee, lady. And that's a strong term. Not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, if you're wondering what that is, that you have heard from the beginning, that we should walk in. It hasn't changed. It's been the same commandment. Jesus tried to teach the same thing. And the commandment is that you love one another as he loved us. Huh? That's the commandment he's talking about. And then note this. This is so important. Please grasp this. He says in verse 7, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus, the man, Christ, the Messiah, is come in the flesh. That this was God come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Okay, now keep that in mind. He says there are people that are coming to the world that are deceivers and they're antichrist. Now hang on here. He said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He says, okay, now pay attention, folks, so that we don't lose ground here. Why? Because there's deceivers in the world. You know, probably the next thing to be canceled out in the cancel culture is Jesus. It's Christianity. Okay, yeah, hang on. It's coming near you. Now, this is so strong. He said, we've got to be careful about this because we can lose some of our reward. You know what the big part of our reward is? Those souls he's going to give us. Wow. Whosoever transgresseth, okay, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, or the doctrine concerning Christ. Sometimes doctrine scares people. He says, those who do not continue to walk, do not continue to walk in this doctrine, of believing who Jesus is. Jesus was really graveyard dead. And 3 days he came back to life. Now, for inanimate, dead, no life, something, whatever, to come to life has to have something else added to it. This has to have life added to it. And Jesus was life. They crucified him, but that spirit in him was life. And if that same spirit that lived in him lives in us, says it'll raise us out of the grave too. Okay, but it's not about just coming out of the grave. It's about the right now. We have the power to make a difference in the lives of people that we care about, that we have a burden for, even if we don't know them. If somebody says to you, "Will you pray for my grandfather?" and you don't know grandfather, they may tell you his name, may not tell you his name. Will you pray for him? Well, would you say to them, "I'm sorry, I don't know your grandfather. I can't pray for him." Probably wouldn't say that, would you? So would you pray for him? And you don't even know who he is? Well, of course. And so likewise, we have access to heaven where Jesus, who came that we might have that spirit, he's interceding for us. And we can ask him for these loved ones, and I believe he will give them to us. Absolutely. If we can believe. Because we don't have to know somebody to pray for them. Remember, I told you about this lady here a few years back that she called me and she was found out she had the wrong number. And I thought, no, wait. Maybe you didn't have the wrong number. I think she was in Chicago or someplace up north. But anyhow, I said, maybe you didn't have the wrong number. Maybe God wanted you to get me. And so I talked to her, and some of you remember this story, true story. And I asked her if there was anything I could pray for her about. And she said, well, yeah, she said, my husband and I have been trying to have a baby for a long time. And it was some sort of a business that had, called the wrong number. And so I prayed for her that God would give them a baby. And it wasn't shortly after that I got word from them they were going to have a baby. I didn't know. I didn't know that lady. I didn't even know her name. I don't know that she gave a name. But see, you don't have to know somebody to pray for them, right? And so, wow, that really opens up a big door. I mean, like, there's a lot of people on planet Earth. So, hang with me here, please. He says in verse 9, whosoever transgresseth, what transgression? Abiding not in the doctrine of who Christ is. He doesn't have God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, or who he is, he has both, the Father and the Son. He has God. He's talking about if a person doesn't believe this doctrine, the doctrine of who Jesus is, that this comes from an antichrist or a deceiver who has deceived, and this person doesn't have God. But he said, if a person can grasp this, if you can believe who Jesus is, that he is God, come in the flesh, the very Spirit of very God was in him. He was sinless until he died for our sins. He said, this person has both God and the Son. The Son being that human part of Jesus and the Spirit, God. God, and we have that. He said, we have that. If you can grasp that, my friend, you can tell God, hey, God, I believe that Jesus is God and man, and I believe I have God with me. And God, I am asking, you, Lord, for my grandson's wife, who they thought had a detached retina, now they've decided she has a form of maybe two different forms of pink eye. Lord, I'm asking you to heal her eye. You think we can do that with confidence? With confidence, see. For this is the confidence that we have. That whatever we ask, he hears us. And that if he hears us, we have the petition that we desire. He's not talking about giving us everything we ask for. He's asking us to comprehend who he is, that we might know him. Paul never prayed that he might get prayers answered, per se. He prayed that he might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So, he says, stick with me here. He said, if there come any to you, now hang on here, don't get lost here. If there come any unto you, if you have someone that comes to you and bring not this doctrine on who Jesus is, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't say, hey, Lord bless you. What do you mean, Lord bless you? Okay, you see, what he's talking about is he's writing about the deceiver. He said there's deceivers coming, and they're antichrist. And so it would often happen, and we see some instances in Scripture, where a lady or a family might live someplace, and if people just going down the road and it gets night, you know, they'll come in. They were hospitable. We find that in Nepal, Brother Dwayne. You're up in the mountains, Man, it's late at night. Been an hour or two since you saw a house someplace. You know what? They'll take you in. They never saw you before. They may have never seen a white person before. But they'll take you in. And this, the terminology here, if you would please, that word, if there come any, that phrase, that phrase is written that this is something that's going to happen. This is going to happen, lady. This is going to happen. And when this happens, if they are against Jesus, don't have fellowship with them. Because this is a major thing. He's not talking about you don't like your neighbor or something. He says, if anyone come to you, if they come to you and they're anti-Jesus, don't try and make them your best friend. You can talk to them about who Jesus is, and they'll probably leave. But see, this was a common thing in John's day. We could go back in Kings and we see some examples there, where this family, this lady made a room for the prophet, and as such. But he says, if somebody comes, and they're anti-Christ, anti-Jesus, don't build them a room that they can come and spend the night whenever. Now, this is not justification for us not liking people that are not believers, okay? All right, so he says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy might be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So, I pray that we will comprehend tonight, desire to comprehend, this man Jesus and the power of believing who he is, and realize the power that we have in praying for loved ones, and we get with it. We have no excuse for being bored in life. We have no excuse for being bored in life. I'd like for those who are here to stand. Thank you who have been streaming with us. And appreciate your presence, your prayers, your love of God. And may mercy and grace and peace from God be upon you. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that we can get together here tonight. Lord, we pray, Lord, for these, Lord, that have lost loved ones, that you would comfort the families tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word, the Bible, that we can read. And thank you, Lord, for showing us things in your word. We just love you. Help us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.